Blog Talk Radio.
God, we're grateful because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come into war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our trouble lies, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
My message is entitled, The Wolf is at the Door. The wolf is at the door. Father, I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for your word. It's a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. I thank you, Lord, for the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit that gives us new hearts, Lord, so that we can stretch out beyond our limitations and be ambassadors of you and your word to all who can still hear. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of your spirit. I thank you for courage and compassion today, God, to speak things that need to be spoken in this generation. Help us, Lord, as a church, never to back away from truth. Help us to go forward and let it fall where it may. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The wolf is at the door. Isaiah chapter 53, prophet Isaiah says these words, Who has believed our report? Beginning at verse 1. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, it's so important before we even begin to look at this passage of Scripture to understand that it was a religious system that crucified Christ. You know, we understand that the Roman authorities were the instruments of his death, but it was the religious order of the day created by God's own people that put the Son of God on a cross. There were leaders in that generation, and they had used their position over the people to garner titles for themselves. They had adorned themselves in righteous robes, as they saw it, and they loved to parade among the people, as Jesus said, and be called master, teacher, teacher, teacher in the marketplace. But Jesus himself came in a form that he did not take on this form of grandeur that men give to themselves. And also, too, they created a system of salvation that was much wider and much more inclusive than the one that God had given to us. Matter of fact, it was so narrow that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. They were so offended when he challenged their religious system because they had created this wide door into eternal life and eternal bliss with God that doesn't exist. All kinds of people were coming into the temple defiled and going out defiled. They were living in manners and ways that the Bible clearly indicated would leave them excluded from the kingdom of God forever. And so in comes this man. He's not interested in their system. He's not trying to garner one of their titles. He's not doing things their way. The Bible says there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. He's not dressed in righteous robes. He's not got boxes on his forehead. He's not walking around with tassels on his arms. He's not parading like some rooster before the people, talking about how close to God he actually is. They despised him and rejected him because he challenged their religious system. They had created a system of redemption that did not exist. Do you understand? And that's the propensity of humankind. The original sin in the Garden of Eden is that we can be as God is. Remember, we can become judges of what's good and what's evil. And if you take that to its logical extension, we can start declaring things that are God forgives when he doesn't. We can start declaring behaviors righteous when they're not. We can start telling people they're going to heaven when they aren't. That is the grave, grave danger of religion. When humankind in its sin nature is allowed to take it and so twist it and so pervert it that it becomes something that God never intended it to be. Can you imagine sitting in a place as a professed or supposed believer in Christ only to end up at the throne of God one day to find out you've been outside the whole thing all along? What a tragedy that's going to be for so many. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There was a heaviness in the heart of the Son of God as he looked on the people as sheep without a shepherd. But we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. And we are, of course, reliving this scripture again in great measure in our day. In many, many places, even where God's people are gathering, the word of God is despised. And we are now gravitating to fancy preachers who have opened the door real wide to people who are not going to heaven, given them false peace when they're not at peace with God. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old things are what? Passed away. And behold, all things are become new. If we are in Christ, if Christ is in us, that means a new value system. It means a new heart. It means a new mind. It means a new way of speaking, thinking, living. It means that what God says is good, and what God says is evil. We don't try to change that. We accept that from the Word of God. Now, this message is given to shepherds to bring us not only to the knowledge of our salvation, but to the freedom which Christ bought for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his beating, as it is, that he took on the cross, we are healed. The old things don't have power over us anymore unless we choose to let them. The old ways of living, speaking, thinking, doing are broken. And we become new creations in Christ. We are able to look back and say, thank God, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not everything that I hoped to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be, and thank God I'm going to be one day what Christ is calling me to be. So there's this constant moving forward in the life of a genuine believer, leaving an old way of thinking, an old way of living, an old way of speaking, and moving to truth, even when it's painful. The book of Proverbs says, a righteous person swears to their own hurt and doesn't change. In other words, I say I'm going to do this, and I do it because God's word says I should, even if it causes me pain. And I don't turn from it. Now, Paul was this kind of a shepherd. He didn't hold back, as I said earlier. This is what he said in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 to 31. He said, therefore, I testify to you this day, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. In other words, and this is the cry of my heart, if anyone here today, hearing my voice, ends up in hell, let it not be my fault. Let it never be because I didn't declare to you the whole counsel of God, or I didn't warn you of something that had the power to drag you down into eternal darkness. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Paul says, for this I know, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, he said, day and night with tears. Paul said there's going to be wolves that are going to come, and they're all already, there's packs of them now. It's not just a few, there's many now in our generation. And they're going to come to devour the sacrifice of Christ and the promise of new life through him. They're going to promise you liberty, as the scripture says in the New Testament, but they themselves are the slaves to corruption. They're promising something they're not experiencing themselves, and they can't deliver it. Listen to what Jude says, the last book of the New Testament before the book of the Revelation. Verse 3 says, "Behold, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Here's what the wolves do. They teach that you can live a lifestyle against the word of God and still claim heaven as your eternal home. That is the wolf that's now at the door of the Christian church in America. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators," that means people who engage in sexual intercourse outside of the bonds of marriage between one man and one woman. Fornicators are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Settle it. It's in the word of God. Don't be deceived into thinking you can live an immoral lifestyle and heaven will still be your home. So hard for this generation to hear. When you've got preachers standing in pulpits saying, "Well, God understands your need and God is a God of love and God won't send anybody to hell." No, that's not true. God is a God of love. We know that. But the Bible tells us that fornicators have no inheritance in the kingdom of God, nor idolaters, people who have other loves in there, something that is in your life that is your whole obsession. Churches or Christ is just a little part of your life, but there's something else in your life that you're pursuing. Nor adulterers, people who engage, who are married, but engage. And, you know, today we take words like adultery and we call it an extramarital affair, as if it's a black tie event. You know, you are invited to an extramarital affair next Friday at 5 o'clock. Bible calls it adultery. Adultery. Settle it. Deal with it. The sex outside of marriage will keep you outside of the kingdom of God, and sex outside of the bonds of the person that you are married to, the man or woman you're married to, will also keep you outside of the kingdom of God unless it's repented of. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. In other words, that's both men and women. Folks, listen. I understand the dilemma, in a sense, that some might face in same-sex attraction. But I'm telling you, you can't give in to that lifestyle on any level, because the Bible clearly says it will leave you outside the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said, some people are eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven. In other words, some people just live their lives without any sexual activity for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And he said, whoever can hear this, let them hear it. You know, you go to a funeral, for example, and you can dress it up with flowers all around, and there's a death certificate, and the preacher can get up and say nice words, but the reality is that the corpse is still dead. You can't make it live. It doesn't matter what you do. And it's the same with homosexual marriage, folks. I got to say it straight out today. I'm not going to hold back on it. You can adorn it with flowers. You can get a certificate from City Hall. You can find some Bexton preacher to say nice words about it. But the wages of sin is still death. You can't change that. Now listen, I'll be called a hater for this message today. I understand that. But I'm not a hater. If I hated you, I'd let you go to hell. If I hated you, I'd let you die in your sin. If I walk down the street and your house is on fire and you're up in your bedroom window and I don't warn you, am I really a good neighbor? Do I really love you? Do I really care about your eternal destiny? You can curse me out of your bedroom window all you want, but I will still warn you that your house is on fire for your soul's sake. Nor thieves. Lest we should think that we're just going to focus on one thing. Nor thieves. That means people who steal. It's that simple. People who steal. People who steal a little. They have a contract maybe and steal a little bit more than they should. Income tax time is coming around, folks. Are you going to pay your taxes? Nor covetous. Nor drunkards. People who come to church this morning, but you were out at a club last night. You're drinking and dancing and this foolishness, I'm out there to share the testimony of Christ. Who are you kidding? If you really are there to do that, stand on the sidewalk with pamphlets in your hand and give it to the drunks coming out of the club. You don't need to be in there with them. Nor revilers. You know, especially in this environment we're now living in this country at this time, where reviling has become the speech of the day, where it's fashionable just to curse everybody around you. You know, Paul said revilers don't inherit the kingdom of God. We have a different heart. We have a different spirit. We're a different kind of people. Jesus himself said, blessed are the peacemakers. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I love that. Would be to God that I can honestly say that of everybody here today. Such were some of you. But you are sanctified. That means you are set apart for the kingdom of God. You are, you honestly repented. You walked away. You moved away from what God's word says is wrong. You can't make it right. You can't change it. It doesn't matter if a million people say, oh, isn't this wonderful? If God's word says it's not, it's not. You are sanctified. You walked away. You walked away from these old ways of thinking, these old behaviors and all of these things. And you set yourself apart for the kingdom of God. You're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Now, you and I are living in an hour where the wolf is heading to the door of the church, demanding in our generation that we bow down to this new definitions of good and evil. This is where we're living. The days of being able to say without penalty what I'm saying today are over. If they're not over, they're very close to over. It's an amazing time that we're now living in. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Yes, this is the point. There's a lot of hirelings and a lot of pulpits in America today. And they don't necessarily leave the people, but they leave biblical truth. They flee the truth when the wolf is at the door. When the wolf says, if you don't bow down, this is our golden statue. This is what this generation is going to look like. This is what you'll preach. These are the truths that you will espouse. They will bow down when the music plays to save themselves, because it's always been about themselves, not about the people. The hireling will flee. And you will see a huge departure from biblical truth in the Christian church in this last hour we're living in. The Bible declares that there's going to be an apostasy, a great falling away in the last days from biblical truth. And the hirelings will lead the people, not into the narrow way of eternal life, but into that broad way of destruction. And they flee because it's always been about them. It's been about the robes. It's been about the praises of man. It's been about the titles. It's been about the numbers. It's been about the apparent evidences of success. Then when Christ comes and challenges them, they hate him.
Yeah.
His own system hated him. His own people hated him. They pushed him away because he declared their definitions of salvation and truth to be bankrupt. He told them they were full of dead men's bones. He said, you go cross land and sea to get one convert, and you make him twice the child of hell that you've become. These are the words of Christ. He warned us in the last days there would be a great falling away. He warned us. He said, you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You can't escape that. That's a promise in the Word of God. We're going to be hated. It's starting now. You're seeing it in society. You're seeing it in the workplace. You can't even have an opinion on things anymore in this generation that we're now living in. Let me say it clearly now. Abortion, for the cause of birth control, or so that people, I understand there are extenuating circumstances, so please don't misquote me on this. But for the cause of just birth control, or for the cause of having sexual pleasure and not having to deal with the life that it can create, is sin in the sight of a holy God. It's a terrible sin in the sight of a holy God. In America today, the deliberate gender confusing of our children in grade school is sin in the sight of a holy God. Mm-hmm. In our high schools, forbidding our children to pray and creating this fictitious division between the state and the church, which doesn't exist. If you really study it, you'll understand it never existed. It was created by the godless. Forbidding our children to pray in our schools is sin in the sight of a holy God. In our colleges, allowing godless professors to rise up and mock God and radicalize a whole generation against even their own nation that was founded by God for the purpose of being able to worship according to the Word of God and freely by conscience is sin in the sight of a holy God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise be to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So let this society despise him. Let them consider him ordinary. Let them rebel against his words. But this day, as Joshua once said, if it be hard to follow the Lord, that's your choice. Choose this day. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yes, sir.
By the grace of God, we will not bow before the wolf in this generation. By the grace of God, we will stand for the truth of God. By the grace of God, we will pray again. We will pray again as a church age. By the grace of God, we will stand up unashamed for the truth of Jesus Christ. We stand on the side of victory. We stand on the side. We stand on the side of eternal life in Jesus Christ.
Oh.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory to you. Thank you.
Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory.
Thank you.
And as David the king once did, we will stand in this generation against the lion and the bear and everything that comes in to devour our children and to devour the people of God. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up. It's time for the people of God to fight back. It's time for us to begin to pray. It's time to run for public office. It's time for teachers to speak. It's time. It's time for the people of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Glory, 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 glory.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
The true shepherds of God in this generation are going to care more for the people than for their own safety.
Yes.
More than our own reputation.
Yes.
It's not going to be an easy road. But I don't know about you, but I'm not giving up this generation to darkness. I'm going to stand.
Hallelujah.
Because the
Hallelujah.
Word of God stands forever.
Yes.
The opinions of men are like grains of sand on the seashore. They'll fall into nowhere. But the word of God abides forever.
Yeah.
Now here's where I conclude. If you're living in sin, I plead with you, while there's still time, turn.
Yeah.
Turn from it. And trust God for the strength. I know there's some sitting here or listening online or they're in the annex and they say, you don't know how deep the bondage is. You don't know how powerful the draw is. No, I don't. But I know the Spirit of God is more powerful than all of that put together. And I know the promise of God is that we will have a new life, an eternal life. The days of living in Christian ease is over in America, folks. It's over. We're about to join our brothers and sisters in China and other places who are being persecuted for what they believe. In Iran, who are being jailed and put to death for believing in Christ. We've lived a very comfortable, very lazy Christianity in America, but those days are over. The wolf is now at the door. Pray for those of us who lead in any capacity that God would give us courage. As I pray for you, that God would give you a cleanness of life and practice and heart and give you the courage to speak up in whatever environment you find yourself in. Our children are starving for truth in this generation and they're wide open. There's only a few Goliaths that claim that they have the power to keep us from being the people of God, but they don't. So I challenge you with all my heart, turn from sin, find that new life in Christ, and rise up and be the person that God's called you to be. We're going to sing for just a few moments. We're going to worship. I guess my altar call is just twofold today. It's for people to say, oh God, help me please to turn from this thing in my life. I don't have to tell you what it is, you already know. Help me to turn away from watching pornography.
Yes.
Help me to turn away from drink.
Yeah.
Help me, God, to turn away from that flirtation in the office.
Yeah.
Help me, God, to stop railing. Get me off, get me out of the seat of the scornful, and help me to walk with the righteous. Deliver me, God, from cowardice, and put a love for people in my heart that casts out all fear. Give me a voice to call this generation back to you again. And God, help me not to cower under the fear of the repercussions that will come all of our way. You know, I was in Washington, and there's an ex-general there who really gives courage to my heart every time I meet him and talk with him. And essentially, what he would say if he were standing here is, you have to fight for a cause higher than your own preservation. If it's just about preserving yourself, you'll flee when the enemy comes. If it's about others, you'll stand. May God give us the courage in this generation to stand for those that don't have a voice for themselves, for our children, for the unborn, for our high school students, for our college students, for every mother, every father, every child in this country that needs to know there's a Savior who died for them. Give us the grace to be kind and compassionate to all, not judging anyone. We leave that to God. But reaching as far as we can reach into this massive fallen humanity with this message of incredible grace that belongs to every person who turns to it through Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you will today cause your kingdom to advance. You will give us the strength and courage that we now need as a people to stand against the onslaught of wickedness that wants to extinguish the testimony of your life and word. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for courage for your people as others throughout the world have had to have. God, deliver us, Lord, from this life of ease that so many of your people have known and bring us into the true fight for the souls of men. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. God, we yield our bodies today to this purpose. We thank you in Jesus' name. So we're going to stand in a moment for those who just know you have to turn from something. And for those who want to turn towards Christ, maybe you don't have a struggle that I'm talking about in your life, but you say, God, I'm stuck in neutral. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going back and I'm not going forward. But today you say, I want to make a difference. I want my life to count. I want my voice to have authority. If that's you, we're going to stand. I'm going to ask you to make your way here. We're going to pray together and believe God to answer our prayer. In the annex, you can make your way here. We'll wait for you in the campus churches. Step between the screens, if you will. We'll be back in just a moment. Every time I look at people at this altar, I see a mighty army of God. I do. I honestly do. So, Father, I pray today, Lord, that you would give every man, every woman, every young person who is at this altar, who are responding in our campus churches or at home, courage, Lord, and compassion. Lord, your word speaks of a perfect love that casts out fear. So, God, give us a love for people that we would not be afraid to speak truth without condemning them, without railing, just loving and speaking the truth. Father, help those that are caught in sin to turn from it. Help us as your people, my God, to be clean. We who bear the treasure of Christ in these earthen vessels, cleanse us, God, of impurity and mixture and things that cause your voice not to be heard or your heart not to be seen. Give us the grace we need to be the people of God. Lord, help us. Help this nation. Give us a moment of mercy, Lord, to turn back to you again. Give us the grace to pray. Heal our homes, our families, our marriages, our children, my God. Deliver us, Lord, from those that crept in to our schools, our colleges, and our high schools, Lord, and took captive our children. Deliver us, God, from this moment, as you delivered your people out of Egypt, deliver us, God, from those who are throwing our children into the river of confusion. Forgive us, Lord, as a people, as a nation, for what we allowed in our laziness to come into our borders.
Yes, Lord.
Forgive us, Lord God, for abdicating the training of our children and giving it to others, Lord, who took advantage and began to steal them from your kingdom. God, help us now to take our rightful place. Help the fathers here to take their place as the head of their home, as a guide, the spiritual guide of their families. Help the mothers to understand the incredible power that they have. Lord, it is truly said that the hand that rocks the cradle shapes the nation. That's true. That's true. I pray, God, for every woman here. God, I ask today, Lord, that even from this meeting today, people would rise up and find your will and walk into it, Lord, with faith. Whatever it is, wherever you lead us, take us, Lord. We dedicate our lives to you, Lord. We dedicate our futures to you. We thank you for covering our past and our present failure and giving us the promise of new life into the future.
Yeah.
Lord, we will not despise you. We'll not turn our faces from you or lightly esteem you. Your word is the truth, Lord. It is the only guide we have into eternal life. So God, help us, Lord. Help us to learn your word, to study your word, to know your word, and to cherish your word. Father, thank you for the great fruit that will be born into your kingdom just from the lives that are here at the altar and on their knees in their homes right now. Just thank you for the great fruit that will be born for your kingdom's sake. Lord, we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. 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 What a quick word this morning. I couldn't wait. I just could not wait. And we thank God for his word today, because his word is the lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. If we refuse to allow people to trick us with the word of God, because like he said, the wolf is at the door. There's coming a day when, like other countries, okay, I got you, Sister Rita. I got you. Yeah, there is coming a day, and it's coming soon. Well, like other countries, you hear me pray for our brothers and sisters overseas, and especially those who can't come out in the open and say the name of Jesus. They cannot come out in the open and allow others to know that they're leading people to Jesus. You hear me pray for those people. And guess what? Our day is quickly approaching. It's quickly approaching, quicker than you think. You went to bed one night and everything was normal, like it normally is in this country. Nothing had changed when you went to bed. But when you woke up, they told you about something that was called coronavirus. And this thing rocked on and rocked on. And then 2 years later, in between the 2 years, it turned to something else. Now they're calling it COVID. They're calling it Omarion. And all kind, it just went somewhere we never expected it. And it's still here. And we have no clue when it will leave completely, when this thing will leave. They can predict what they want, but until God says enough is enough, it will still be here with us. So listen, the same way you woke up one morning to the coronavirus information, to what had taken place overnight, it will be the same way for the believers. You'll go to bed free to talk about God, Jesus in the morning, and all of this. And you'll wake up, and the laws will be put into place already that you can't talk about him in this country. It's against the law to tell people they're sinners. It's against the law to talk about abortion. It's against the law to talk about homosexuality. It's against the law to talk about anything that God said is wrong. It's against the law to talk about adultery, fornication, stealing, lying, cheating. It will be illegal to do it. And those that do it will suffer a great cost. But I'm like Carter Cologne this morning. I believe I'll continue to do it. And my reason for continuing to do it is so that somebody can come to Jesus. Some young person, some old person. Somebody who's been saying for years, you know, I'm going to give God a chance one day. I'm going to give God a chance one day. When they see how ugly this thing gets, because look, without God, we can do nothing, right? And if we believe without him, we can do nothing. If he is it not in it, we won't make it. Huh? Hey, if he is not in it, we won't make it. It's him that keeps everything going. It's him that keeps the good, the bad, and the ugly going. So if I take him out, I invite him out, what will I have? I can't do anything without him. Right now, he's a gracious, kind, merciful, and loving God. And one day, he's coming back at his church without spot or wrinkle. People don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear this. They want to hear a word from the Lord. They want to hear they're going to get what their flesh is desiring. They want to hear my life is going to be good. My children going to be good. Whatever they want to hear. I'm going to get the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get, look, time out for the foolishness. Warning comes before destruction. And this is what we need to hear more and more. Warning comes before destruction. We need to hear more and more people like Carter this morning. Not afraid to tell you the truth like it is. But see, we call Jesus because we figure we can use him like we use people. Oh, yeah, that's the truth right there. We want to use God like we use human beings, like we'll use each other. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to give you nothing, but give me all that I want from you. And this is the way that we do, Almighty God. Look at yourself now. Look at yourself. I'm looking at me this morning. All that he can give us, we won't. But what he says to give to him, we won't do it. And God forbid it's one of our children. Oh, no, Jesus is going to have to take a back seat. Yeah, I know what he said, but guess what? This little Johnny. I know what he said, but this big Larry. Oh, no, this is my husband. What is she talking about? God know I can't do that, but he said to do it. And if he said to do it, he knew that you can. Yes. He know how much we can bear. And his word said this, he won't put any more on us than we can bear. Oh, no, not my wife. Now, she talking crazy. I can't let my wife go like that. Well, in a lot of cases, it's not your husband. In a lot of cases, these people are not your wife. You're suffering and going through because that's not what it is. But you're going to make it that. You're going to force God's hand. You think you're going to force it. You won't do it. And sometimes you really can't tell people the truth. You really can't tell them. They're not in a position to receive the truth. They'll fight you. Oh, boy, look at here. Y'all have no clue. Y'all have no clue. And we'll get angry about that thing. What God said, not what Barbara said. Because I don't have a heaven nor hell to put you in. Yeah, not what I said, but what he has said. But they will fight you because they don't want to let go. Because their flesh wants what it wants. And they are not willing to hear nobody and nothing until their flesh is pleased. So what the good master does is he back up. And he let them continue to fight these battles. Until they can't fight no more. It's all over. They finally get to see. But all the damage that has been done. When we could have obeyed God the first time. Yeah. But it's coming down. It's coming down. The wolf is at the door. And once he opened the door. My goodness. My goodness. Our eyes have not seen and our ears have not heard. Not only the things God got in store for us, but the things the devil have in store for us. Oh, we never saw this before. We didn't see this coming like this. See, and a lot of preachers, they say they're preachers, and a lot of folks are saying they're believers. I'm a Christian. The saints of God, the people of God, all of this, y'all forgive me. I had to put some stuff in the drawer. They are going to get to see what they really are. You are going to get to see for yourself if you have really been on the right track with God. You are going to get to see if your preacher, your pastor, your church was the right church for you to be in. Was they really teaching Jesus over there? Was they really teaching heaven or hell over there? What was they teaching? You're about to get to see. I told you, I've been saying it. This thing is going to get worse before it gets better.
We heard about Apostle Paul. We heard about Peter, all these boys going to jail. In some cases, they were beaten. God has blessed America. He has blessed us as his people. And many of us have not suffered in that way. Or we've suffered in some ways. Because what I had to do is I had to pay for what I got. I had to go through trials for what I have today. I didn't just go to the altar and say I do, and I was able to walk away, and that was it. I went and said I do, and then the test began. I had to be homeless sometimes. Ooh, you don't know what that feeling is like if you've never been homeless. You don't have anywhere of your own to put your head. You can be tired and weary, but you don't have nowhere to put your head. You can put your head at somebody else's place, but you don't have a place of your own. One thing God did for me, and I was so great, he gave me a car. And my friend Nita used to call it my struggle buggy. I should have stopped that, because it became that. When I got it, wasn't nothing wrong with it. But the more she called it a struggle buggy, the more it became that. But he gave me a car. Back in the day, they didn't make them in the 90s, late 90s. It was a Vista Colt. Put that up if you want to. It looked like a SUV, a station wagon, and a car to me, the Vista Colt. And I could drive places and sit in the parking lot 2 o'clock in the morning and sit there and talk to the Lord. In many cases, I couldn't doze off to sleep. I was afraid. I was afraid the police was going to come and interrupt me. And I was afraid that somebody may come and attack me in the car. So I just stay there and pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. So look what happened. When he got through giving me the lessons that I needed, he gave me a place of my own. He would take me from city to city. I didn't stay in a city longer than 2 years. When I was coming up on 2 years, he would move me. But one thing I did is I stayed with him because I knew. I knew he could do it. I knew he was able, and what I was going through, it wasn't for me. It was for today. It was for many days ago. Because when I looked at Jesus, what he went through, it wasn't because of him or for him. But it was for us. So I had to go on through, willing to let my flesh die so that he could live. Willing to be homeless so I could be here today. Willing to go to churches where they didn't like me, but they wanted the gift that God gave me to come into operation. Seeing people in the pulpit saying they pastors, honoring God with their lips, but their heart far from it. When they had gotten prophesied to, they let it went on a little bit longer, then they cut it off because they done got what they wanted. They ready to go. I don't care if the children hear a word. I don't care if the mothers hear. I don't care. I'm ready to go. I got my word. It's time to end this thing. I'm the pastor. Y'all don't understand. Y'all have no clue. Folks coming to me pretending that they liked me when they didn't, they were working witchcraft. I'm talking about black magic, voodoo, wickedness in high places. And they come to me and they was hoping that they could scare me. But he didn't give me the spirit of fear. I'm going to run right now. I'm going to run. Hey, he didn't give me the spirit of fear. He gave me power, love, and a sound mind. And in many cases, I didn't even have a mind to be scared because I lost my mind and took on the mind of Christ. My life is hid in him. I rise up, twirl it, turn your neck around like the exorcist, spit green stuff. Do what you got to do because greater is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. The wolf is at the door. You can be scared. You can seek a word all you want. You better get the word in you and live according to the word of God. Somebody told you hell, you're living in hell. The devil is a fool and a liar. It's appointed once unto man to die, and after death, here come the judgment. Here it comes. You got to stand before the great judge. What will he see in you when you stand before him? Will he see his son Jesus in you? Will he see spots or wrinkles? Because he's coming back for the church without spot or wrinkle. Will he see daily you were making your calling and election sure with him, or you were just free to do whatever you was big enough to do? You can take it or leave it. He sent his word weekday mornings over here, and you picked and chose what you wanted to do with it. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. I'm telling you the truth this morning. And the wolf is truly at the door. I heard about Canada. You can't preach against homosexuality. You can't preach against that certain things, sins. You can't say all of that in Canada, certain places, they told me. They'll put you in prison. I told you the Antichrist been here. But more and more you're getting to see him in full operation. When they took prayer out of school, on the job you can't talk about Jesus. You can't talk about God. You can't quote a scripture. He had done conquered right there many. He had done conquered many in high places to put that in place. When we look back, even on the dollar bill, it originally said, in God we trust. Although the African Americans, we come from Africa, we was brought over here. But yet God was so good, we came over here and he made a way. The same people that they call ignorant and they didn't know and it was overbearing and they didn't have, them same people who didn't have shoes to wear had rope to hold up their pants, clothes tattered and worn. No hair products. Hair looking like a steel wool pad. Them same folks prayed us through that we are here today. And we are still going through because of your nationality and your color. But you don't want to give God nothing. You hate this and you hate that. We complainers and murmurers. We complain about everything. We ain't got nothing good to say about nothing. And God forbid he sends somebody our way. Oh, my Lord, it's the end of the world. I can't do it. I don't want to. You're telling God. And he know your heart. He know you don't. But your trial comes, your test comes to make you strong. Because after that test, a greater test is coming. We got to learn to die to our flesh, die to ourselves, and let God arrive. Let him be out front. Let him be glorified through our life. We can't do that. We got to be, hey, I can't go nowhere unless my hair done. Because, see, I'm not representing God. He said it this morning. I'm representing him. It's been about me the whole time. I can't go nowhere without my makeup on. I can't go nowhere unless I'm dressed up. Because it was never about God. It was always about you. And who you are impressing. And what you want people to think of you. Not God. And folks lie and say, oh, I'm dressed like this because I'm representing God. Let me tell you how you represent him. Live right before him. Let people see your light shining. Be that candle that sit up on a hill that can't be hid. Because you can be dressed up, but you're messed up. God speaking to his church this morning. The songwriter wrote a song and said, get right, church, and let's go home. But you've been living so carelessly all these years. The word say, don't do this, you still do it, and then you make excuses out of the word for what you done that the word says not to do. Go back to where you think you found Jesus and make sure you got what you thought you had. Go back and do your first work over. It's not going to hurt a thing. It's going to help you this morning. It's going to help you all this week. Hey, glory. Hiya, Shaka. Hiya, hey, glory. Hiya, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Go, thank you. Hallelujah to his majesty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You got to go back to the old place. Go back to the old path and take a look around. Make sure you got what you thought you got. Because the wolf really is at the door, and the proof and the bee in the pudding of who you are in Jesus. And he's not going to spare you because you, Lord, forgive me, and Lord, have mercy. He's already bringing you the answer to your problem. Because the scripture said, work while it's day. When night comes, no man can see. The scripture always says this, go to God now. Do it now. Pray now while he can hear you, because there's a time coming when you won't hear nothing. He's not going to even be there. Because for stiff-necked, hard-headed, selfish people who using the name of God and saying, I'm saved, God is trying to bring us out of the ways of the world. God is trying to bring us out of flesh and let him arise in us. Let him be out front. Let him be the candle that sit on the hill in us that can't be hid. Our light is supposed to shine the light of him, but we want it to be the light of us. We can't do nothing. We always trying to impress somebody. We full of vanity. And we got to get this foolishness out of us. I prayed and I've been praying, Lord, let them hear. Don't let your word fall on deaf ears. God, let them learn to walk in the spirit. Father, give them wisdom. Let them stop listening to these preachers just want what's in their purse and pocketbooks and wallets. Lord, don't let them live off a word, but God, let them live off the word of God, all 66 books. Lord, let them look at Jesus and make the choice to be like him. Because you hear some people, they say they're Christians, but they tell you this, I can't be like Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I ain't never saw Jesus. Look, I done did all of that because he's in me. He's in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. His spirit lives within. But we too busy talking about us, not him. I lost a lot of people because they got sick and tired of me talking about Jesus. They got tired of me looking for him and whatever was going on. And when I didn't see him in it, I didn't want to be a part of. Yeah, well, you ain't going to see God in everything. Well, then I'm not going to be in everything. How about that? If he's not in it, I don't want none of it. You hear me? Without him, I can do nothing. We got to go back to the altar, y'all, and make sure we got what we thought we had. And come up off the altar, letting your light shine, letting God shine through you. Come up off that altar, not walking in your flesh, but walking in the spirit of God that you don't fulfill the lust of your flesh. Time out for this. The wolf is at the door. I promise you, knock him. And in many cases, he's not going to knock. He's just going to keep the door open and come on in. You're going to get to see some churches fall. You're going to get to see some pastors fall. You're going to get to see some pastors kill themselves. You're going to get to see all kind of things. You think the world flipped upside down. You haven't seen nothing yet. You're going to see fires burning. You're going to see that children don't stand a ghost of a chance. And if you didn't put nothing in them, they ain't going to be able to make it. Your children that you love more than you love God. Your children that you love more than you love the word of God, which is truth. And you know your children are lie right now. Come on today. Somebody told me one time, said, oh, you feel like that about children because you've been through with your children. Now, I ain't got nothing to do with what I've been through with them. I'm their mother. I tell them what time it is. And if they don't like it, guess what? I get ghosts, as they say. I go on in Jesus. It's not about that. See, you had so many. Nope. It's not going to put more on you than you can bear. It's not that I had so many children. It's that I've decided to make Jesus my choice over everything and everybody. The only thing I'm beholden to this morning is Almighty God through his son Jesus that have all the power. I can't hold on to these folk, the flesh. They flesh. He told me to trust no man. That includes children, daddy, wife, husband, and everybody. I can only hold on to him because he's the truth. He's the way. He's the truth and he's the life and he's my light. He's all of that to me. And to give him up for this, what? A son that won't pay him a prayer? Give this up for a son with evil in his heart? You got to be kidding me. So I decided to make Jesus my choice over everything and everybody else because without him, I can do nothing. I can't wake up in the morning. And when I look back, I see where he brought me from. When I look around, I see he done brought me through all kind of things and strengthened me afterwards. I come out strong, should have died, should have been gone. But Lord, you let me live on. I am, a living testimony. I thank God I'm still alive. Hallelujah. He performed miracle after miracle in my life. I can remember walking the street, witnessing the people walking the street. And I can remember times, see, people don't like them who don't look like them. You know, they don't look like them. They don't smell like them. They don't act like them. And they don't want to be bothered. Oh, child, be quiet. They crazy. And I can remember saying, hey, how you doing? And the one they said was crazy, say, hey, all right, how you doing? I said, I'm good over here. What's going on? And sometimes they'll give me their testimony of how they got out there. Yeah, I remember one time I was downtown Jacksonville, and Robin Lee and Maven used to take over the show while I go out and give out lunches and things. And I'll never forget this woman one day. She was sitting on the sidewalk. There was a fence there with her back to the fence. And she was kind of covered up and had her head kind of covered up because, you know, I know she was ashamed to be out there like that. But she said, I want to talk to you. I said, okay. So I gave the lunches out and everything and went to talk to her. She said, I want to tell you how I got out here. I said, okay. She said, I met a man. And he was some kind of fine, good looking and everything, the right height and everything. She said, I got involved with him, and the next thing I know, I was smoking drugs. Y'all don't hear me now because y'all not listening. The next thing I know, I was smoking drugs. He came to pull me out of my place in God, and I let him pull me out of my place. I know God. When he got through, he got all he wanted. Got me on drugs and everything. I lost all I had. He left. So that was his job. Anybody remember Judas Iscariot? Anybody remember him? He did his job. He did what the devil would have him to do against Almighty God, the Son of the true and living God. My goodness. But when he got through, did you see what he did? He went on and killed himself. That devil will assign some folk to you to pull you out of your place. And when you know anything, you out there doing what you never thought you would do. Let me tell you, it looks so good to you. He or she will look so good to you. They'll come talking like sheep. They'll come talking in a way it appear they telling you all their truth. They telling you the truth. They don't play. They telling you, look here, fall into the trap. Because they come to lure you away from God and lure you out of your place in God. And they'll start telling you, well, ain't nothing wrong with, you know you can't drink alcohol because when you drink, you act a pure donkey. Or, now, you know the Bible say we could have some wine. Let me and you celebrate us and just have a glass of wine. When you know anything, you done drunk 2 bottles of wine over there fooling with him. No, you can't drink. Now, because them spirits you're putting in your body in a way. So now you're no longer you because you done got drunk. Because you put too much wine in, you become spirit. You can drink it for your stomach's sake. He said, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. If you went to the party and you had a little wine, yeah, you didn't drink a bottle now. You didn't get drunk over there, but you just had a little wine. It may have calmed your nerves, helped your stomach, and, you know, a few other things. But listen, this him come to pull you out your place in God. And just that God know what you want, the devil does too. So the devil sit back and he play on women all the time. He play on some men. But he play on women too. And the next thing you know, you somewhere messed up. I got some testimonies I'm going to play this morning. I looked at a testimony of a prophetess, Juanita Bynum, her sister. Huh? Don't tell me what God won't do because we know him, those of us who know him. But the wolf is really at the door. If God can deliver people from crack cocaine, if God can deliver people from prostitution, if God can deliver people from being murderers and rapists and all this stuff, he can deliver you from that trauma you going through. I know they did you wrong back in the day. I know even in your childhood you done went through some things. But the scriptures say greater. It didn't say the same power that thing had that came against you. It says greater is he that lives within you than he that is in the world. Now that's what the scriptures say. I didn't say it. Good morning, honey bun. With the white ice and all over, you know, sweet, sweet, sweet. Yeah, God is faithful to us. But we don't know how to be faithful to him. But the wolf is at the door. And we're about to see what you got. You about to see for yourself if you got God for real or you just been running out here. It has just become a habit with you. You go to church because it feels good. You go to church because you think you're doing God a favor. When you should go to church to get filled up. And after getting filled up, you go back out and empty it out and you go back in to get refilled again. Good morning, Apostle. God bless you. Yeah. I got something for you here this morning. I'm going to one more song of the morning. And when I come back, I'm coming back with some testimonies. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. Let's go to this one song. And when I come back, we're coming back with testimonies.
Out working on the building a long, long time ago. I turned around in a world of sin. I didn't work on the building anymore. I was lost in the heart of the wilderness. I was standing at the crossing of the road. I heard a voice speak soft and low, telling me which way to go. And he said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home. I wondered here I wondered there. Months and years had passed. Had plenty of friends all the time. The life I lived was fast. When trouble came around me, all of my friends were gone. But I heard the same voice speaking in my ears, telling me to go back home. He said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home. I finally did what the voice said. I turned and took my place. I'm working back, singing in the choir, God's amazing grace. I know Jesus, he loves me so, and this is how I know. That same voice speaking to me, telling me the way to go. He said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home.
The love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
God said, I got this. About 5 years ago, brothers and sisters, I had to change doctors because from one city to another. I walked in this doctor's office that I'd never seen before. He said to me, have you ever had a colonoscopy? And I said, no, sir. And he said, you're a black man. You're over 50 years old. I know that's surprising to you, Dr. Womack. I know I don't look 50. You're over 50 years old, so I suggest that you get one. Brothers and sisters, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it entailed. But I said, okay, if that's what I must do, I must do it. I go into the doctor's office, and he set me up for this colonoscopy. And I go through the procedure, and I wake up to hear him say that there are polyps, I think that's what they call it, whatever, in there. And he said, you have no need to worry. You haven't had any problems. And brothers and sisters, I didn't have any problems. You have no need to worry. But we're going to send it off just to have it checked. And we'll call you back in 10 days and let you know the results. The very next day at 9 o'clock at night, my phone rings. And listen, I just need to talk to real people. I'm not talking to you folks. Oh, nothing bothers me. I just cover it under the blood. I ain't studying y'all. I ain't talking to y'all. I'm talking to real people who save and get scared. And caller ID will mess you up because I looked at that ID and I saw the hospital. Bishop and I said, something is wrong because no doctor has any business call at a patient's house at 9 o'clock at night. I got worried. He said, Mr. Timmons, it is cancer. Let me tell you why I got worried, because I was 51 years old. And a year prior to that, we buried my sister, who was 51, with colon cancer. A few months before that, we buried our cousin out in Virginia, who was 51, with colon cancer. I think you know where I'm going with this. And the enemy started telling me, you're next. I'm just talking to the real people, just the real people. And I began to worry. I don't know what he said next. You have to ask my wife and Joyce, because all I heard was cancer. That's all I heard. And he said, I'm going to reset up another time for you to come. Well, the next morning at 6 o'clock, I'm getting a call from the doctor, and I'm sure scared now, because I can count. It's not 3 days. And just lo and behold, he says, we had an opening. You can come in. I got to get through. You can come in. And we're going to do the procedure again. Brothers and sisters, that was Good Friday. And I go back home after the procedure. I'm worried about a message because, you know, everybody go to church on Easter. So I was trying to get me a good Easter message, but I had no message. I'm just talking to real people. I prayed. I asked God, give me a word, do something. I had nothing. Easter Sunday morning, house full of people. I'm sitting in the pulpit. I had nothing. All I could think about is, you're going to die. I had nothing. I sat there. The praise team went forth. The choir went forth. It was time for me to get up to preach. I went to the pulpit with nothing. And while I was standing at the pulpit, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, you can't keep a good man down. Everybody in the audience thought I was talking about Jesus. I was telling the devil, you can't keep a good man down. That was Easter Sunday morning. That Sunday afternoon, we went over to my bishop's church. I had the preacher's anniversary. I was fussing, complaining, Bishop, why are you having your anniversary on Easter? Blah, 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 blah. He said, well, my anniversary is not on Easter. Easter is on my anniversary. I had to preach, and the Holy Ghost, and I'm about 2 minutes from a close on this, but I'm just trying to help somebody. The Holy Ghost spoke to a young lady in our church who could not walk. A sickness, a disease hit her, and she could not walk. The Holy Ghost raised that girl up, and she started running around that church, and she just started raising her hand, saying, it's already done. Now, I hadn't told nobody because I'm the pastor, and I can't tell nobody what I'm going through. So she had no idea. And just like in the old days, another sister from way on the other side of the church picked up that spirit, and she started walking around saying, it's already done. And before you know it, the whole church was up walking around saying, it's already done. And I looked at the clock, Bishop, and it said it was 6:37 p.m. So I went home, and when I walked in the house, the answering machine light was flashing, and I just pushed the button, and it said Sunday, April, or whatever it was, 6:37 p.m. Mr. Timmons, this is Dr. Lynn, and I just called to tell you that there ain't no cancer in your body, nowhere. I need somebody to just move around and tell somebody it's already done. Thank you.
As a result, I ended up went through school. I have never in my life, and somebody said, what are you doing up there? I don't know why I'm here. I'm just thankful I'm here. What are you doing up here? I'm never, Bishop, you know my life, you know my story. I've never in my life obtained a grade higher than a D, except for art and in gym. I was a good artist and at citizenship, I was a good boy and I liked to play. But as a result, I went through school and they just said, keep passing him, let him stay with his own age group. And they passed me until I graduated. And when I graduated after 13 years of schooling, I sat on the side of the bed and unrolled my diploma and looked at it and couldn't even read two lines of it. I cried for 13 years. I went to school. 13 years. I walked through snow. There was no yellow buses for us. 13 years I went through with sickness and colds and flus, sat in classrooms and was inferior to everybody in there. But here I am now, 18 years old, and can't go to school, get a job. In fact, they made names up. I could not look at anyone in their faces. I dropped every time I saw you. I watched your shoes and not your face. Everywhere I went with tears in my eyes. I got to the point I hid in crowds. I'll never forget my first day at Mason Temple. I drove all the way from Michigan, got into Mason Temple. I enjoyed the shouting outside in the dust and in the dirt. Hear the guitars and the drums and the saints praising God. I sat on the back of the Mason Temple behind a column trying to see who was speaking on the podium because I was too ashamed to go up front. Many of you have seen me passing out voting papers and collecting papers. That was a test of my confidence, of my faith that I have in God. To stand before people, I could not do this a few years ago, but I've been... The faith that I have in God has been multiplied so great that I thank him today that he has took me from behind the column and put me on the podium. I'm blessed. I left the army and I began with my problems. I started drinking. The devil said, kill yourself. Don't live. You. No, nobody wants you. Nobody love you. I sat up in a bar one night on a Sunday night. Sat there on 12th and Pingree in Detroit, cognac and coke in my hand, playing my jazz. Somebody walked into the bar and put some money in the jukebox, and it was Sam's Cooke record. And it said, everybody say amen, everybody say amen. And I'm sitting there, I said, wait a minute, that's church music. Why are they playing and dancing in the bar off of church music? And I began to think about my Sunday school classes and think about the purity class and Mother Whitehead and think about all of the teaching of Bishop John Seth Bailey. And here I am sitting up in a bar. While I was sitting there, the tears came to my eyes. And I got up off the bar stool on a Sunday night and I went to the church. When I got to church, I sat in the back like I used to do so I could easily get out before somebody messed with me or somebody asked me any question. I went in the back of the church and sat down. And while I was sitting there, the preacher got up, Elder James McCarty, and he threw out his hands like never before and said, Jesus said, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The tears began to fall down my face, and I said, Jesus, are you talking to me? And the Lord said, come. I said, but Lord, I've done so much wrong. He said, come. I said, Lord, I even got alcohol on my breath. He said, come. Hallelujah. I stood up, and when I stood up, the tears began to flow from my eyes. I felt the presence of God all around me. But I stood there. Devil said, you're going to mess up the service. I said, you messed up my life. I ought to be able to mess up one service. I stepped out in the aisle, began to come down the aisle, talking to Jesus. I've got a true testimony today. On my way down that aisle, I actually felt the weight of sin when it fell off of my shoulders. Hallelujah. By the time I got to the altar, my hands was lifted. Always kept my hands in my pocket because I didn't want nobody to see them. But I asked God to take a look at them. I asked him to wash me from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I asked him to give me the anointing of God. I asked him to save me on that day, to wash me, to fill me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I cried, and the Lord delivered me. That night, the Lord saved me. The preacher said, come back tomorrow night at 7:30. We're going to have tarry service. I said, yes, sir. He said, don't eat nothing, Philip. I said, yes, sir. I fasted all day. I was at the church at 7 o'clock. When they came to open the doors, I was standing at the door. Man, I was hungry. I was thirsty for the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. And while I was standing there, they came, unlocked the door, turned the heat on, turned the lights on, turned the mics on, but I didn't do anything but go to the altar. And I kept talking to God, and I said, here I am. Here I am. You told me to come, and here I am. I need you like never before. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. I don't know what time it was, but I know one thing. I gave up to God. And when I surrendered, I felt the most shiny old. I felt him when he came in. And when he came in, I got joy. That's joy when the Holy Ghost comes. The Holy Ghost does not come to save you, but the Holy Ghost comes because you're already saved, because you've already confessed that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. And when the Holy Ghost come in, joy come in. Joy, come here. Lord, knock me out on the floor under the power of the Holy Ghost. When they dismissed service, they asked my wife, can you handle him? She says, I got him. They pushed me in the car like the officers do these bad boys on the street. They got me in the car and drove me to my little small income bungalow. I went up those steps. I go up halfway and stop and go about shot to you. The Lord anointed me. In the morning, I got up praising him. But one day, I went to the youth congress, and I bought a big Bible, real big Bible. And I said, Lord, if I get a bigger Bible, maybe I can read your word. I can understand what you're saying. I said, because I love you so much. I love you better than life. I said, Lord, if I fall before I hit the ground, before I utterly separate myself from you, if sin come in, will you do one thing for me? I said, Lord, just take me before I fall, because I can't live without you. Anybody feel today that you can't? Anybody feel like you can't live without him? I can't live without him. And so I asked God, I said, Lord, I need to know if I got the Holy Ghost like they did on the day of Pentecost. I want to know if I got it that way. And I said, Lord, but I can't read. And I laid my face in my Bible and tears and cosmetic all over my pages. The tears were running down the seam of my pages. And I'm saying, God, I need to read your word. And I cried out to him out of an earnest heart. And the Lord spoke to me. I'll never forget it. It was on a Saturday morning. He said to me, it is not necessary now that you read my word. All I want you to do is praise my name. And I found out the answer to every one of my problems that I ever had in life, that I ever will have in life, is in the praise. If you can praise God in the midst of what you're going through, God will bring you out The devil think it not strange for you to praise God when God deliver you. But what confuses the devil is that how can you praise God with all that I have put on you? And you're still going through, but you're shouting. You don't have no money, but you're shouting. Cancer's in your body, but you're shouting. You've lost a loved one, but you're shouting. If you can but praise God, you can get through it. I'll tell you, you can get through it. Come under the old shot. So while I was sitting there, I said, oh, praise your name. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. I heard the Holy Ghost say, I couldn't read this, but the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is real. You can't buy it. You can't get it in the university. God gives it to you. It's a gift. Hallelujah. I couldn't read it, but the Holy Ghost is so real, and the Word of God is a live organism, and the two come together. And what I could not understand, God tore down gave me the understanding of it. He said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, all with one accord. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and it filled the place where they said they were dwelling in Jerusalem. Devout men from everywhere, from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. And oh, how they murmured of amazement of these tongues, how they praise and bless our Lord. Some folks say that ye men, you are drunk with new wine. But Brother Peter, given authority of the Holy Ghost, said, ye men, you're not drunk as ye suppose, but this is that which was spoken by great prophet named Joel. In the last day, I shall pour out my spirit, said the Lord. I'll pour it on all flesh that is born. Then the young men, they shall have visions. Us older men will dream dreams as we walk hand in hand, praising God for the victory, looking to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, as we praise him both morning, noon, and night. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I could not read that because I was too ignorant. But the wisdom of God is greater than the wisdom of man. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. Hallelujah. And so God bless me with the ability to take the Word of God and hold it up even though I couldn't read. I said, oh, what shall I render to Jesus? What shall I render to him? My life, my joy, my all in all. Oh, what shall I render to him? I went all over the city of Detroit with my Bible. And they said, that's the man that can sing scriptures and he can't read. And I stand there and Bishop Bailey would say, go ahead, Philip. Come on, Philip. Sing me one of them songs. Yes, sir, sir. And I get up and oh, shot that thing over, shot that. Hallelujah. And so here I was singing scriptures. Here I was unable to read. My father said, Philip, do you want a job? I said, yes, sir. He said, I've been at Ford Motor Company for 37 years, and I've got something they call favor. He said, I will make out your application for you. Just go to gate 2 and say, I'm Jack's boy. And it'll all be made out. Just sign your name. I went to gate 2 on Miller Road, and I said, I'm Jack's boy. They grabbed me and pulled me in the back. Just sign your name right here. We know your problem. And they gave me a job at $2.67 an hour. I was sweeping floors and taking garbage out. I'm in the garbage can full of the Holy Ghost. Hey! Full of Arbor Sandio. I'm in the Nidhi Oshad now. I'm in the garbage can with the Holy Ghost. I'm singing, look where he brought me from, in the garbage can. Hallelujah. But I give God all the praise. Somebody tell the Lord thank you. Come on, tell him thank you. And I found out if God give you a job sweeping floors, sweeping like Michelangelo, like he paints pictures, you ought to do the thing that God assigned you to do. And when you do it right, God will open up doors and pour you out a blessing that you don't even have room to receive. But you got to learn how to praise God wherever you are. Praise him through your storm. Praise him while you're going through. Say
yeah.
One day, the supervisor came by and said, Mr. Jackson. I said, yes, sir. He said, you're always here on time. You've never been late. You never take a day off. He said, would you like to be a supervisor? I said, oh, no. I wasn't mad at supervisors. I just knew I couldn't read. Devil said, you're going to lose the job. You got it if you do that. But when he walked away, the Holy Ghost said, Hu-a-da! Hu-a-da! To consider these things in all thy ways. Acknowledge him. He said, I'll direct your path. I jumped out the garbage can, ran down the aisle. I said, Mr. Bundy, what do I have to do? He said, all you got to do is take a test for 2.5 hours from Ohio State University. I said, 2.5 hours? He said, yes. Reading, comprehending, algebra, geometry, and trig. I said, okay, put my name in. Put my name in. So when I want to be obedient. When they put my name in, I didn't go to no library. I didn't get no encyclopedia. I couldn't read none of that stuff. So I went to prayer and Bible band.
Yes, sir.
Prayer and Bible band. At the end of prayer and Bible band, they said, if anybody have any prayer requests, somebody stood up and said, I got an unspoken request. Somebody else said, I got an unspoken request. How many folks know that if you're in the boat in the middle of Lake Erie, your motor won't start, and you got a hole in the middle of the boat?
Yes, sir.
You ain't got no unspoken request. That ain't no unspoken request. Only thing you can do is holler, help!
Come on here.
Lord, I need your help.
Yeah, Lord.
And that night, I came down. I said, all of you all know me. Because I was in your classes. What they would do, pass the Sunday school book around for all the little children to read. When they got to me, they would say, oh, no, give it to her. And they passed me by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I thank God. So I told him, I said, y'all know my condition. You know I'm ignorant. You know I can't read. But one thing else you know about me, you know I'm saved. I'm saved. And they said, come on up, Phyllis. And I stood there at the altar. Them mothers came. They used to wear, Bishop, them long dresses with them big old shoes. They would stand there and the big ugly shoes. That's what I wanted to say.
Stop it.
And they stand there in front of you. And one of them hit me in the head. Another would push me back. And they were pushing me and pulling me. And then they went in their pocket. And they got me this little vial of oil. And they said, tomorrow, Philip, when you take this test, they see y'all complain because you get a little oil on your St. John. They didn't dab you. They came from way back here. And when they got to you, half the oil was in the air.
All right.
And they anointed you. But I'm telling you something, that was a real anointing. And when they said, don't eat nothing, go to take your test, take this little oil with you. He said, Philip, put a little on your paper, put some on your head, and put some on your belly. It's something about that belly. Because
yes,
he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Yes,
and let me tell you, I got in there. It was 25 men with briefcases and satchels, all educated scholars. And here I am in a pair of blue coveralls, trying to the chump man, the cobbage man. I'm sitting there, but I had something that they didn't have. Because I heard them say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if God be for you, he's more than the world against you. I took my horn, put it on me. The lady said, you got 25, 30 minutes on this section. She turned the clock, and I'm sitting there. The clock is ticking. It gets down to 25 minutes.
Yes, sir.
And I haven't even picked up my number two pencil. But I began to tell God, I said, you let me come in here with all of this wisdom. You let me sit in the midst of all of these talented men. And you're a great God, and I just want to said, thank you for letting me be in this room.
Hallelujah.
By that time, I felt the quickening. I said, oh, you're here. You're here.
Yes,
thank you for coming to see about me. By that time, I heard the Holy Ghost said, Mark Box, hey. I said, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Hey.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes,
he said, PCPA.
Hey,
yes, hey,
glory.
Hey, glory. Yes, Lord. G-D-A-C-B. Yes, Lord. When I finished, I set the pencil down. The clock went off. That song came to me and said, he may not come when you want him. But he's an all-time God. Come on, tell him thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
It went to algebra, geometry, and trig. They said, here's your instruction. Find the radii of a circle. Multiply it by the circumference. And then multiplied by pi r squared.
Yes, sir.
I said, pi. The only pi I knew about was sweet potato pie.
Glory.
That's the only pi I knew of.
All right.
But the Holy Ghost said, CDB, AFC,
GND,
AFC, DNB, CNE.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 I went through that whole test, closed my book, and the Lord said, now, geometry, don't think it's strange that I know the answer to geometry problem. He said, because look at a spider. There's one in here. Walking the rafters right now. He falls all the way down till you walk into his web.
Mm-hmm.
He falls his own security. He attaches himself to nothing. He hangs from nowhere.
Hallelujah.
And hallelujah. And he webs a web on his own.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't need no instructions. No building permit. Just build it wherever he wanted. And then when he gets through building it, there's every angle in that spider's web that is known to a geometrist. So if God can give this information to a spider, and you far greater than a spider, God can give you the answer to every problem you can ever have.
Yes, sir.
Now, look at that spider. He sits back there in the web. He done webbed himself a web. And then he sits back in the hole, and he waits. He waits for room service. Fly come back.
All right.
Get caught in the web. Spider said, well, I'm not really hungry right now. I'll come get him a little bit later. He'll say that. An hour later, he come out. Well, I guess I eat. And they had room service for the spider. God brought me so in that test. I passed everything. I came back the next day. They said, Mr. Jackson, we scored your test. I said, yes, sir. He said, you got 100% on your test. I said, 100%. He said, yes. And he said, can you just wait right here for a moment? I'm saying, he better hurry up and get me out of here. Because I'm finna tear up this man's office.
Yes, sir.
I feel a praise coming on. I said, Lord, please hurry up. Let him come. And he said, I want to tell you this. Anybody that passes this type of test with 100%, we call you a hot pot. I said, yes, sir. He said, every 6 months, we're going to promote you, and we're going to give you a raise and increase your salary all over wherever you're going. So 6 months after they made me a supervisor, I became a full-fledged supervisor. 6 months later, assistant general supervisor. 6 months later, the general supervisor. 6 months later, assistant superintendent of production. 6 months later, the production. Each time I'm going from 200 to 400
come
to 800 to 1,000 people. They got me up to about a shift manufacturing manager. Then they came and said, we can't promote you no more, Mr. Jackson. You don't have a degree. I said, it's all right. They said, but we're going to send you to college. I said, oh, Jesus. How you going to send me to college? And I don't have a degree. I don't have nothing. And he said, we're going to pay for your salary just as you were at work every single day. And we put you in tool and die, manufacturing engineering, because we're going to put you over all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Die constructions, electronics, and all of the things pertaining to the manufacturing.
Come on.
So, yes, sir. I went to the college to take my entrance exam and failed it. I went to the cafeteria, and there was a gentleman with a donut and a coffee in front of me. He said, oh, I forgot. I don't have my wallet. I said, sir, put him on my bill. He said, you don't know me. I said, I don't have to know you. It's only a dollar and a half. So I paid for his donut and coffee. I went out and sat down. I said, now, how can I tell this general manager and the vice president of the Ford Motor Company that I can't even pass the entrance examination? God, how can I do that? By that time, the man came back, Bishop, and he said, what's your name? I said, Phil Jackson. He said, Mr. Jackson, what are you doing here? I said, I'm supposed to take some classes because they want to promote me. I need to know something about quality. I need to understand what a homogeneous process is. And I need to understand what a heteroscedasticity process, using sigma and sigma prime with three standard deviations on either side of the mean with double X bar as my guide. I need to know how to do probability predictability studies using Six Sigma as the base. He said, oh, good. Okay. He said, I have the best PhDs here. All of them know this. He said, I said, well, who are you? He said, oh, I'm the dean of the university.
Glory. Hallelujah.
And about 3 days later, I had a postcard that said, sorry, Mr. Jackson, you did not meet the academic requirement of Toledo University. Perhaps you take some adult classes and even to bring your academic level up to the standard of our university. Thank you for your application. Then there was another card. Congratulations, Mr. Jackson. You've been accepted. University of Toledo classes start Monday morning at 9 o'clock. And I went to college.
Yes,
I never got a grade lower than a B.
Come on here.
In college. God brought me a long way.
Yes.
And so they came and said, Mr. Jackson, what I want to do, I want to make you the quality systems manager. I see my first lady in my jurisdiction, Mother Cher. He said, I'm going to make you the quality systems manager. I'm giving you 26 plants, 3 in Mexico, 3 in Canada, and the rest in the continental United States. I said, oh, God, how can I do this? And they introduced me to a man named Dr. Edward Demings. He's the guru of statistics. And he was 92 years old when I met Dr. Demings. Dr. Deming said, these people are not concerned about what I have, but Mr. Jackson, what I'm going to do for you, I'm going to take you in the cafeteria. We're going to meet every day, and I'm going to teach you everything I know about statistics. I teach statistics dealing with X bar R charts, P charts, NP charts, all kinds of charts, pie charts, all the Pareto analysis. God bless me with the talent to be able to take statistical data and to crack it down. And I heard Bishop on the phone one day talking on the conference phone. He said, put the pencil to the paper and let that make the decision on what you're going to do. And I said, that's a talented man. That's a bright man. You can put the pencil, all the talk out of your mouth don't mean much of anything. But when you put it on paper, now you're talking. So here we are. Three plants in Mexico. I can't speak no Spanish. Plain land. They say, I got an interpreter and I got a car to pick you up at the airport. I go to the meetings in Cuautitlan, Mexico, and I'm sitting at the head of the table, and somebody asks me a question, and all I can say is see. All I can say is see. And what I'm saying, see, they don't know I'm not saying just yes. I'm saying see where the Lord have brought me from. Thank you, Jesus.
So I want to begin with your ministry. And before your testimony came, I want you to tell us a little bit about, you know, how your ministry.
We're going to get the rest of them the rest of the week. We'll get the rest of the testimonies. But if you have something this morning you want to share, press that number one for me and come on in today. Boy, Philip done fired me up over there. He done fired me up. Couldn't read. Messed up. He still got the discoloration on his face and his hands and things. Yeah. The other one, he had cancer. He said he wanted to talk to real people. Yeah. He wanted to talk to Christians who get scared sometimes. And the doctor called him 9 o'clock at night with bad news. And he said to himself, no doctor should be calling nobody's house this time of night. And I know he was thinking too, especially with bad news. But the girl in the wheelchair, God delivered her that Sunday, Easter Sunday, and he said he was fussing and complaining because who gonna have their anniversary on Easter Sunday? But the girl in the wheelchair, God healed her and delivered her. She got up running around the church and said, it's already done. Hallelujah. God had already did it for him. So he gets back and get another call. And the call said he'd been here. They couldn't find cancer nowhere. I got a friend. I had never heard of cancer in your eye. He called me and told me they diagnosed him with cancer in his eye. And the way he told me about it, he wasn't down. He wasn't depressed. He wasn't none of that. I said, well, let's pray. We prayed. Shante called me. Me and Shante prayed with him. And he would call me and we would pray. Well, after they got through with the eye cancer, they come back and told him, well, we need to look at your prostate. Looked at his prostate. They said something going on with that. So we're going to go ahead and give you radiation for that. He went on over there for that. Never discouraged, never sick, none of that. I said, well, how you doing? I'm feeling all right. I said, you don't feel sick or nauseous? No, I'm good. I'm good. Called him one day. He said, my back hurts. And my back hurt me real bad. I can barely get up out of the bed to go to the bathroom. I'm hungry and I can't, you know, really get up and go in and get me nothing to eat. He said, but I'm going to get up after a while and I'm going to go on in and get me something. I said, okay, well, I'm going to pray with you, and then I'm going on and let you relax and get up when you can. He said, okay. Got on up, got him something to eat, called me. I said, well, how you feeling? He said, well, I ain't feeling that good, but I'm all right. I said, okay. I called him to check on him. I said, well, how you doing? I'm all right. I said, just all right. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good over here. Huh? Hey, let me tell you, God, if he's got healing power, let me tell you, he's got the power to keep you. from any sin that you don't want to commit. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it today. He'll deliver you. He will deliver you from anything that you're going through that you don't want to go through. I am a living witness. Yeah. I am a living witness. God is a healer. Yeah. I'm a living witness that he's a deliverer. He delivered me from me. Yeah. I'm telling you, I was too much. And God, when he come in, he delivered me. But I couldn't let him play. I couldn't play with him. I couldn't listen to these old crooked preachers and they trying to please my flesh and not my spirit, man. I couldn't be bothered. God sent me to a man who taught me the truth and who taught me how to love people. You don't get up, Barbara, to get up to be seen. You don't get up and do things so that people can say, ooh, that Barbara knows she can pray. Ooh, that Barbara sung that song. Honey, didn't that woman prophesy over that? No, Barbara, that ain't what you're getting up for. He allowing you to get up so he can bless his people. He want to use you as a vessel, Barbara. That's all he want to do. It's his power that's doing everything. Nothing of yourself, Barbara, nothing of you. You're just a vessel that he can use. And he taught me these things. And today, from 93 to 2022, I still remember that. I can't get up looking good. I can't get up doing what Barbara want to do, what going to make Barbara look good. I was invited to Newark, New Jersey. And I went to Newark. I packed me some clothes. Now, y'all know I wanted to represent Florida. He didn't even let me wear the clothes. I went with a jean skirt on and some kind of top. And I don't even know if it was flip-flops I had on or what. But I went on in Jesus. I went to do what he wanted me to do, what he wanted to use me to do, I should say. And they brought these women. They call them the Nurses Guild, I guess, in the white dresses and things. And they wanted to usher me in, you know, like I was some big thing coming through that. Child, we got to usher God in. We got to usher the anointing of God in this place because I can't do nothing for you. Only he can. So I went on and they looking at me crazy and everything. Because, see, I wasn't looking the norm. You know, when they normally come, they all dressed up. Some of them had a collar on with the little white spot in the middle of it and all of that. I ain't have all that on because I wasn't finna do nothing. I didn't have to dress up to look like a preacher. I was a preacher. I didn't have to dress up to look like a prophetess. I was a prophetess. So I went on and let God use me. And there was this lady there when I called her out and I began to tell her what the Lord said. She went to looking crazy. Well, the woman who invited me was Apostle Sarah Duncan. So I looked back at Sarah Duncan. And she had a little smile on her face because she said, Sarah, no. Sarah said, don't move that Barbara back now. That ain't what you're looking for. So she looking like I'm just saying some stuff to her to say. And so I told her, I said, well, listen to this. Since you can't believe that, can you believe this? I said, I see a tall, brown-skinned man, and he hurt your feelings real bad this morning. Hey, glory. She went to crying. Yeah, the Spirit of the Lord touched her. Yeah, because she knew that was the truth. Her husband had hurt her feelings real bad that morning. And nobody knew about it but her. Do y'all hear what I tell you? God is real if we will allow him to be real. Yeah, the studio open. Press that number one and come on in. Hallelujah. If you have something you want to say today. Philip done excited. Couldn't read. Never been to college. God kept promoting him and promoting him and promoting him. When we get real with him, when we depend on him, when he's our all we got, when he is our all we got, he will come in and do what we need him to do, what we want him to do. But we got to give him something to work with. We got to give him our whole heart. We got to give him all our life. Because our life now is hid in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I'm grateful unto him this morning. And I thank God for another day. Hallelujah. To not only testify, but to tell him thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, area code 907. God bless you this morning. How are you?
God bless you. God bless you, Mama. I am doing well. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh. We hear you nice and clear.
God bless the brothers and sisters that's tuning in this morning, and I thank God for just a wonderful message. And I don't want to be on here long. I just wanted to say this. I was just listening to the testimonies, and when I tell you God is real, Mama, he is real. And I thank God for his word and for the many brothers and sisters in Christ that labor in the vineyard unto Almighty God to be a blessing to all of us. And so in the King James Version of the Bible, which is the one I like, in Matthew 26 and 41, it says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And so I know for a fact that we all go through something in life. Every day we always go through some type of trial or tribulation, but God is still God, and he will always be the same, and he will not change. It's us that changes towards the situation, and we put more stock in the situation than we do in Almighty God that has all power. And so as I was sitting here listening to the preachers, I was in here and I said, "Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the word. I thank you for faith and trust." And as I sat here, now I feel like I'm in a period of a trial and a tribulation. And that Matthew scripture came up for me. And I just thank God that I know his voice and I know him when I see him. Because I was sitting here and it came to me, no matter what you go through, any testimony unto Almighty God will lift you no matter what point you are in your life. Even if that testimony that the person is given is not necessarily the same exact situation that you're going through, but because you hear the word of God and you hear the fruit of the Spirit and you know that God has all power and you have faith in that word, and it'll lift you up. So I feel very encouraged this morning, and I thank God, because when I tell you, I feel like in the spirit, I'm in a battle for my life. I feel like I'm in a battle for my life. But the good thing is that I know God. Uh-huh. Oh, yes. Yes, sir. I know him. I know him. And he will in no way fail me, nor will he cast me out. And he'll be with me till the end. And though I be some days worried, you know, because the enemy comes, I cast all my worries to God, and he takes care of everything. So I'm encouraged today. I thank God for his spirit. I thank you for the testimony. I was almost screaming in here listening to it. So I'm grateful unto the Lord. And I just ask that, Mama, you would continue to keep me in prayer, and that the brothers and sisters in Christ would lift me up, and I'll do the same for them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Check that out. Philip couldn't read, but went to college and graduated. He didn't know what to do when it came time for him to take that test. But he prayed and he trusted God. He didn't go nowhere else. He went to the church. He went to prayer service. He went to a spot where he knew they were going to pray. And when them sisters got through over there and they gave him the vial of oil to take with him, they told him what to do with the oil. Because, see, the oil was anointed. Yeah, it was anointed and a form of contact. So they gave him something tangible to take with him over there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, area code 908. Good morning. God bless you. So good to see that number. How are you? Can you hear us, area code 908?
Let me bother that. Good morning.
Good morning, Apostle Duncan. How are you?
Yes, I'm blessed, praise God. Yeah, how's things going? I tell y'all having a good time today. I'm sitting in my hair dryer in the beauty salon. That's why I didn't know anybody else.
Yeah, because we can barely hear you, Apostle.
I know, that's why. Because I'm in the beauty salon. But
okay.
The work is good, by the way. Hold on one minute, please.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. I want to tell you this. The young man reached out to me.
I was saying that the word was good this morning. That what I heard. There used to be a mother in our church when we was going to Church of God in Christ. She's going to be with the Lord now. She couldn't read either. But if God didn't use that woman, you hear me? Glory to God. He used that woman, praise God. So I thank God for the word of God that went forth today. And we were just truly blessed by it. Mm-hmm. We've been doing good. You got to come on the show. I need you to come on the show and coast with me. We've been out there on the radio station.
Okay.
Glory to God, just teaching and preaching up a storm out there. I'll never forget broadcast. So I need you to come on and host with me when you get the opportunity. But continue to allow the Lord to use you, and we will continue to pray for you. God bless you. We love you.
Okay. All right. God bless you. Love y'all, God too. This is what I know, and that intellectual stuff, let me tell y'all about that. It's a fool that despises wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you something. When you let God be God, when you let God do it, even them in high places have to recognize you. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus came talking the way he talked, they said they had never heard nobody talk like that. Who is this thing? God will put words in your mouth people have never heard before. I got a future apostle because of the noise. But God will put words in your mouth nobody else has ever heard before. And they can say what they want to say about me. But I'm here to tell you, when you're led by the Spirit of God, people are blessed. And when you preach the truth, those that are seeking the truth, they will receive the truth and be dead blessed. Uncommon blessed.
Say it,
uncommon
Mama. Say it. Say it.
Not only that, look, you got to go through some things. No cross, no crown. If you don't suffer with him, you can't reign with him. You may not be able to pay your mortgage like you used to. You may not have all the things that you used to have, but nonetheless, you got a roof over your head. You still got electric and water. You still got some form of transportation. Tell God thank you and keep waiting on him because he's coming. Mm-hmm. But sometimes he's trying to get your spirit man right. Because once he get the spirit man in you, the Holy Ghost in you, and you realize that you can allow the Holy Ghost to lead and guide, remind you of things, walk in the light of God, here come the financial blessing. Here come the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. See on, here come the house in the gated community. Here come the house that is so big you don't even want it. He's trying to get that spirit man in us right. He's trying to get the spots and wrinkles out of us. But now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and keep us blameless before the throne. Some folks study too much. And when I say you study too much, what I'm talking about, you're not studying the walking. You studying it where you can be correct before others with intellect. I study for me. And because I've studied for me, the word is in me. When I get up, God brings the word out of me. And he put it in the platform that he wanted. Not everybody get it. Because, see, many pick and choose what they want about the word of God, but we got to eat the whole book. If he say you're supposed to be married one time, why are you marrying three and four? I mean, I went to God. And how you going to him to ask him for another husband or another wife and you already had one and you couldn't handle that one? You made the wrong choice with that. I realized I made the wrong choice when I married Mr. Matt. And I went back praying and asking God about it and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Look here, all that left me. When I begin to see God with my whole heart, all of that left me. And some of us, we married the right man or the right woman, and we left them, and God sent you right on back on over there. It tickles me, forgive me for laughing. Yeah. God sent you right back where you were supposed to be. You can't live without this man. You can't live without this woman. What you trying to do? You're miserable. But you're over there trying to act like I got it, like that. You ain't got nothing. And then you come back, come out, something, I don't know what you're talking about, but the Lord show you whatever it was, it will be no more. Now go on and love them the way you're supposed to love them, because they're the one I designed for you. They're the one I put you with. Sit down somewhere and cut all of that flesh out. Because, see, that's what we try to walk in, the flesh. We try to encourage the spirit through the flesh. We try to impress the spirit with the flesh. It won't work. They're at war with each other all the time. They're constantly fighting against each other. We just got to get down with God and stop all of this. We in the world, believers, but we're not of the world, saints. We're in the world, those that's calling yourself Christian, but we're not of it. We shouldn't act like other folks. I don't want to act like what I see on TV, somebody's godly. I want to act like God is in me for real. It is him that's moving me and me not moving myself. Yeah, we can't play church no more. It's time out for that because the wolf is at the door. Do you hear what I say? The wolf is already at the door. It's just a matter of minutes before he come in. And when that wolf get in, I want to see what happens. Because if you really don't have God, you're talking about a suffering. You ain't heard about suffering before. Because he don't love you and he don't care about you. And you ain't got God, so what God going to do for you? Warning comes before destruction. He done sent me, he done sent me no more to warn you, the wolf is at the door. Get it right with him so when the wolf come in, it's nothing he can do with you. Why can't he do something with me, Barbara? For greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. God is bigger than any wolf. He's bigger than any devil, any antichrist, any evil, any witchcraft, and anything. Work your magic if you got to. I bind it up in Jesus' name. And you got to mean what you say and say what you mean here. You can't play because the devil don't play games with you. He mean what he do to you. He mean to kill, steal from you, and destroy you. He hates you because now you done denounced him and now you professing Jesus or he hates you. And when I tell you it's nothing too low down and dirty for him to do to you and your family, I mean that. But you got to realize, though he slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. I don't care what the devil bring my way. I don't care what they say. I got God, and I'm going to hold on to him. I'm holding to his unchangeable hand. He won't change. He was that way yesterday. He that way today. And he will be that way forevermore. See, now is the time to learn to trust him. Because the things coming our way, if we don't have it, we won't make it. I'm just telling you the truth. And if we don't get right with him, if we don't live according to his word, hell will be our home. I don't care where you live at. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. I don't care where you come from, who your family is. That don't even matter. What position you got in the church, what position you got on the job. If you don't have Jesus, hell is your home. And see, you say, I believe. Well, now the proof got to be in the pudding. When he look at you, he need to see his son in you. And look, because look, we're not givers like we're supposed to. We don't seek a reason to give. I met a young lady. She's a college student. And if you're on Facebook with me, you've been to my Facebook page lately, I put some drawings over there. She drew those pictures. And she's selling those pictures because she's in college. Family don't have no money. She don't have no money. But she's trying to pay her way through school and get through school the best she can. So I was going to send her a care package with food and snacks, and but it's too expensive to ship it to Delaware. That's where she at. So I said, well, you know what? You said y'all got the dollar store. I'm going to send you $20. Go over there and get you $20 worth of stuff and be good. She said, oh, okay. Thank you. She was so excited, she called me. I hadn't heard from her. She got that $20 and she called me. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, she was just going out. She was so happy. So look, God loves a cheerful giver. Stranger, I don't know anything about this young lady. All I know, she in dire straits and she is in college. All I know, up at the prison, they had the raggedest coloring books, the raggedest playing cards, Uno cards, or whatever they do over there. Just straight up worn and tattered. Now, why would it just come to me? Because, you know, I can't stand nothing. I said, well, look, can I donate to the prison? She said, yeah, I'll get you the donation form. Well, when I got back there, when they let you in, I got back there. I said, well, the lady said, he said, she going to get the form for you. But see, they was busy. And she was going to get that form when I got ready to go. And she did. I just mentioned it here on the show. I just mentioned it. And then Nikki went out and lost her mind. I mean, so many boxes of 24 crayons, Crayola crayons. Because I told her that's the only kind I want now. Don't bring me none of that Dollar Tree stuff, Family Dollar crayons. Bring me Crayola. You get me any kind of coloring book, activity books, but bring me the Crayola crayons. And that's what she did. I have a box so heavy, my brother should be over one day this week. And I'm going to get him to put the box in my truck because I can't lift it. And one of the guards will come out there and get it out the truck and take it in there and search it and go through it and fine line it or whatever they got to do to it. So that when the visit, when children come to the visiting park or adults, they can color, they can play Uno or whatever they play, and it will be all right. God loves a cheerful giver. But we sit around and wait for people to ask us. That's what we do. They ain't asking me for no money. I ain't got to give none. He said he loves a cheerful giver. And when it comes to that money, we hold on to a dollar bill so tight, George Washington be crying. Yeah, because you're squeezing him so tight. Let go today and let God have his way. Because guess what he's going to do for you? If you plant a seed, he's going to bless you. I planted a $100 seed on Thursday. Last Thursday. And I was doing the show Friday morning and I heard the Cash App go off. Well, that had to be Friday. I went back to plant more seeds out of the money that he sent through the harvest he sent through Cash App. I planted $258 seeds. Because people think, I guess, to plant a seed, you got to plant thousands of dollars. No. Give God $58 and assign your seed to do whatever you want it to do. But if you can help it, not everybody is being cheap, but that's all they have sometimes. But if you can go out to eat, you can have your hair done, your nails done, and all of this while you're struggling to pay bills. You can pay to look good, but guess what? You can give God a seed and assign your seed. Tell that seed what you want it to do. And when I tell you, if you trust God and let it go, don't doubt. He's going to bring a harvest from the seed that you gave. I ain't telling you what they told me. I'm telling you from experience. I planted another $258 seeds on Friday. I went to bed early Friday night. I guess I went about, I want to say 4:30. I was tired. Well, around 7-ish, I'm going to say. It had to be around 7-ish. I heard the Cash App go off, but I couldn't really get up. I was sleepy. I laid on there, and I heard the cha-ching, ching. So I went on. When I got up, I took a look at it. Now, each time I gave, he went over what I gave. He doubled that, but then he went beyond that. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Get up and start working for the Lord. Somebody work for him. And just because he gave you some type of title, that don't mean that's all you do. Seek God in other areas. Lord, I want to pass out tracts. I want to pass out scriptures. Because look, his word won't return void. If you don't like talking to people, you feel you can't talk to people, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, I'll tell you what to do. Print you out some scriptures. And start, you know what, that's what I'm going to do today. And start giving them scriptures out everywhere you go. I got a few doctor's appointments. I got an oral surgeon appointment. I got a knee specialist appointment. Everywhere I go, I'm handing scriptures out. And I might get some colored envelopes, you know, and put them in the colored envelope because people think it's something, ooh-wee, and it is. It is all of that and a bag of donuts. It's all of that because you giving them life. You giving them the word. You saving their lives. Yeah. And in this day and time, people need it. People want to be, but they don't know what to trust. They don't know who to trust and where to trust them at. So they figure they just do without it. Yeah. But when the right word come to them, and only God can send the right word to them, they're going to accept that word and live. They're going to accept the word of God and be healed. He sent his word and it healed them. He sent his word and it healed me. Not only did it heal me physically, but it healed me spiritually. It healed me from being a great sinner. Like Apostle Paul, it healed me from being the chief sinner. Somebody say, oh, you wasn't all of that. Somebody was worse than you. And that could be true, but guess what? It's what I feel, not what you're talking about. It's what I feel. And I don't want to disappoint God. I don't want my words to be one thing and my life to be another. I'm saying this, but I'm living that. No, that's not me. I'm from the real school. I'm from the just me, and that's it. Like it or leave it, I am just me. Yeah. I'm real. What I tell you is real. Yeah, I don't have to play games. I'm a full-grown woman. And God supply my needs, so I don't have to lie to nobody about nothing. But we got to get it right with God today and quit with all this church etiquette and all this old stuff. That stuff going out the window. God ain't even hearing that nonsense no more, y'all pulling, because that's y'all and it's not God. Look at here. Get with the anointing of God and let God do something in your life so that he can do something in other people's lives. A lot of our children, we losing them. We done lost them, it appears. Grandchildren, we done lost them. They didn't come up the way we come up. They said they didn't want to come up like we come up. But every time you turn around, they running over there to you to get something from you because of the way you came up. If you hadn't come up that way, you wouldn't have nothing. You come up knowing God. You come up believing in God. Your parents may not even took you to church, but you knew about it. You knew about God. You knew the Bible. You believe the Bible is real. The word is in there. You believe it's real. But they didn't want that. But every time you turn around, they over there at your house asking for something. They on the phone needing something from you. And y'all know I'm smart out my mouth. I am smart right out my mouth. I said, well, you didn't want to bring your children up the way I brought you up and the way my parents brought me up. But how is it I got and you don't? I think you need to evaluate yourself and get God like I got him. And that way you ain't got to ask nobody for nothing but him. And he'll open the door and make a way for you. Yeah. You ain't got to beg nobody. You ain't got to ask nobody. He will open the door and make a way. Now, if he tell you to ask, go on and ask. Because whoever you ask, he's trying to do something to bless them. He need them to give something so he can give something. Hallelujah. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. Yeah, I'm praying to the Lord because I want money so I can plant in other ministries. I want other ministries to be blessed that's reaching out to the people. So that somebody can be saved. So that somebody can come to Jesus. Yeah, he wished that none should perish. And I wish that none should perish either. But I got to get up and do something. Yeah. And stop sitting down waiting on God to do everything for me. And I don't give him nothing. I won't even work for him. The only time I tell somebody about it is when it's a family member or friend and they're telling me they're going through. And they're going through so bad, ain't nothing nobody can do. Then I might tell them about God. No, I'm telling folks about it before I hear about what you're going through. Because if I get you right at the right time and share with you as he using me, you won't go through it like that. I'm saying you won't go through some things, but you'll go through better if you got him. I go through my trials all right because I got him. Better than all right because I got him. They come to make me strong. And I trust him. I trust him. I can't help but trust him. I ain't got nobody else to trust but him. He's my all in all. Hallelujah. So today we want to seek God while he can be found. Do you hear what I say? We want to seek him while he can be found. We want to choose this day whom we're going to serve. Because we've been serving the buildings. We've been serving pastors. We've been serving the TV ministries. We've been serving everything but God. Yeah, and we hear what we want to hear. We're always hearing to be blessed. I want to hear to be a blessing. That's what it's time for. Hear the word of God so you can be a blessing, not just blessed. Because if you can hear the word, you're already blessed. If you can obey the word, you're already blessed. Now bless somebody else from hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. I feel like stretching out today. I'm telling you the truth. I got stuff I done made in the kitchen to go give away today. I didn't get to the prison yesterday. And while I didn't get to the prison, I stayed here in Bacon to take stuff out today to give away. Because we sit back, I ain't got nothing to do. God ain't called me to nothing. If he did, I don't know what it is. Look here. Start giving somebody something. God loves a cheerful gift. Your children or grandchildren go to a school, go over there and carry them some cupcakes. See, people like all that kind of stuff. See, they'll see God in that. Yeah. Pay for two or three children who can't go on a field trip. Tell the teacher, if you got some children who can't afford to go on the field trip, I'm going to pay for two or one. And hang out with people that like to give. Don't hang out with stingy folk. Hang out with folks that when they see the people on the side of the road will work for food, who you don't mind going over there giving them $2 or something because God loves a cheerful giver and some have entertained angels unaware. But we got to go back to the drawing board. We got to go back to the old path and take a look around. I'm telling y'all. Because this thing gonna get worse before it get better. You have never seen America in the way that you're about to see it. Even the leadership is dependent on themselves. They're not going to God. So the people got to go to him. And we sat around too long, didn't cry loud and spare not. And now the school's teaching our children and babies dying and all kind of stuff. Right is wrong and wrong is right. I'm telling you, it's like the world flipped upside down and went crazy. Yeah, that Antichrist came more into effect. He come but to steal, kill, and destroy. It's our God that come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, yeah. And we need God. We need him. Without him, we can't do nothing. I'm telling you, without him, you won't do nothing. You won't wake up. You won't think. You won't do nothing. All that you've been doing, all that you've done, all that you're doing is because of him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm great that I know him for myself. I don't have to go to the priest and tell the priest my business. I don't have to do all that. He sent me a mediator, his son, Jesus Christ. So once I tell him, he take it to the Father. And I believe because Jesus brought it to the Father, God honored it because that the only begotten son brought it. And he thought it was worth listening to. He thought it was worth doing it because he so loved us that he sent his son, hallelujah, to suffer, to hang, to bleed, to die, to conquer all and rise with all power. Amen goes right there. I feel right there. Amen goes right there. He did it for us. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that we could have a right to the tree of life. I want to live forever with God. I don't want to live forever on this earth now. Nope, that's not what I'm going. I want to live forever with him because where he is peace, is joy, is happiness. No crying, no dying, no fussing, no fighting. I don't have to worry about what you say about me, what you're going to do to me. Yeah, because I'm with him today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful unto him this day. And great is he that lives within us than he that is in the world. Go on and bow down before him. Yeah. And ask him for wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give us wisdom today in the name of Jesus. We don't want to be fools and we don't want to perish, Lord. But we need your wisdom to lead and guide us into the right path. Yeah, for your name's sake, not just our name, but your name's sake, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How are we thinking this morning? Listen, I'm going to one more song this morning. And when we come back, the studio is still open. If you have something you would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in and share with us this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.
There's a train coming, don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord, yeah. The train to Jordan, picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key, open up the doors and board them. There's room for all among those love the most, yeah. So people get ready, there's a train. Just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. You just get on board.
Come on, play with it. Daryl Dixon on the saxophone. I believe there are many ways to worship. Amen. We worship with our words. We worship with our instruments. We can worship with our entire bodies. My only prayer is that it's pleasing to the Lord. That's our only prayer. Only prayer that pleases you, though.
There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who hurt all mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those, Lord, whose chances grow thinner. There ain't no hiding place from the kingdom throne. Yeah. There's a train coming. Don't need no baggage. Just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesel's humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. Leroy.
Take your time, dude. Take your time. You know, I'm talking about worship. And right here is my good friend David Watson, plays the flute as well as the saxophone. In fact, he considers himself more of a flute player even still than a sax player. At least that's what your old man said. This is your turn, man. Sing on to the Lord a new song.
Good morning, Sister Dot. Your mic's still open, Shante, if you want to tell her good morning. Sugarfoot, I know it is quite early there. I am talking about very, very early over there. And for as long as you've been on the show, it is very, very, very early and cold. Hallelujah. But we thank God he makes a way. Yeah, he keeps his people warm and take care of them. And he was blessed that folks don't even have to go to work. You know, they can stay in the warm house. Blessed us with what they're saying is auto start. That we can start the car from auto from the house. And you got to be out in the cold trying to start your car and it's freezing. You just start it from the window. Look down there, look over there, bing, 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 and it's on. You know how you do your alarm on your car? Boop, boop. That's all you do. And start it up. And she talking about stop it, behave. Yeah. Just start it up and you ready to go. Yeah. We used to plug them in at night. I know y'all still have to plug it in at night. And in the morning when I would get up, about 15 minutes before I leave for work, you wasn't going to forget that now. You may have forgotten a number of things, but you wasn't going to forget to warm that car up. At night, after I plug it up at night, I'm not coming back out the house. I go in the house and turn the switch on, and it keeps the car engine warm all night so it don't freeze. Isn't that amazing? God has given man some amazing talent. Yeah. But we think it's us. We think, you know, this our thoughts, this our invention. We put it together. But again, this morning, without God, we can do nothing. And a lot of things he allowed to see what we're going to do. Yeah, bless me on yesterday. I didn't make the prison yesterday, but I pray to make this Sunday. I pray to go up this Sunday and be a blessing. But I was blessed. My office needed a thorough cleaning. Boxes and papers and this and that desk, all just, and yesterday all day, I got through baking because I got up, it had to be around 3 o'clock, and I got baking and, you know, got everything baked up and done, and I come in here, and I started to clean up my office, you know, throwing papers away and stuff you don't need and old electronics and all of that. I got rid of it yesterday. So today, all I have to do, if I get the time, which I'm going to make time today, if it's tonight, to vacuum my office and dust real good, and it will be thoroughly on the way. Yeah. And because wherever I move, I put it back. But sometimes I have a lot of extra stuff that I have to use. And so it's just everywhere. And then I get a chance to clean it up, and I'm good. And I thank God for doing a little mop in the kitchen and things today. And I'll make sure that's cleaned back up right. God is faithful to us, faithful to us, faithful to us. And I thank him this morning. Is there anyone else? We got a few minutes to have something. 708, good morning to you, 708. God bless you this morning. Good to see that number. You know I like seeing that 708 over there. Yes, I do. God is good. And so we go on a little bit further. So, Sarita, I got you. We're going to pray before we leave today and pray for that knee. And intercessors, I need y'all touching and agreeing with me. But Sister Rita's knee, she twisted it. And it's hurting, I'm sure, real bad, you know. And I know about the knees. You know I know about the knees. Both of mine. So I know about them. But nonetheless, I'm talking to the Lord about it. And oh, good morning, Pastor David. God bless you this morning. And good morning, Sion. All right, I believe it's Brother Anthony. Might be Sister Samoa. Good morning, area code 267-586. God bless you this morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Sister Martha. Good morning, everyone. God bless you, Martha.
Wait, you're breaking up, Sister Samoa.
I'm breaking up.
Yeah, you sound better now.
It's better now?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Well, I just, I don't know. You say you make you dance across the floor. Well, Ms. Barbara, this morning, dancing. It just made me dance across the floor just to know that God is so wonderful and he's so awesome. And I just wanted to give him praise, not just privately, but publicly, because his word says that he inhabits the praises of his people. And I just want to say that I praise him because he is awesome. It might not seem like it in the times of trouble. Had to give him praise anyway. That might not be there when we want him, but he would be there right on time. You know, he's had to give him praise in and out of season, through the storms, through battles, when life gets hard. He's had to praise him. You know, and I just want to give him praise on it because he is awesome. You think about the things that you tried to do on your own. Things that didn't work, or you know, you have to sit back. You gotta sit back and like you say, go back to the old path and take a look around. And I thank you for that, because that means many things. Going back to the old path and looking around means many things. I thank you for your teaching, your leadership. I thank God for you. I thank him for not leaving us. I thank him for continuing putting up with us, because if it was us, we probably would say to each other, oh, no, I can't do this. When I think about, not only does he look after us, he looks after everybody in this world. And we might have a family of 10 people, and they work our nerves so bad, but he looks at the each every person on this earth, you know. When we think about the things that we can handle, that just lets me know that we can handle more than we think we can handle. When his word says that he knows just how much we can bear. But he is awesome. He is awesome. He said to give him glory, to give his praise, to make his name glorious. That's just what I wanted to do. I thank you, Father God. I praise your name. I love you today. And may all of that love and praise and the wisdom that you give us, may it spread abroad through phone conversations, through hearts that may be listening. May all that love, all that you have for us, abundance, set it in your word. May it travel, God, today. And it's not a prayer, but it definitely goes in Jesus' name today. Amen. That's what I wanted to
say. Amen, Sister Samoa. I am with you when you're right. We pray that it travels and that people will go back to the old path and look around and get it right with God and get right with God. And let him be the God of our lives, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Brother Lewis, we going out in the chat room. God bless you. And later Tater, have a blessed day. You and Apostle both right. God bless you. God bless you today, in Jesus' name. So listen, we're going to pray. And after prayer, we're still going our last song of the morning. And after our last song, we're going to be coming back today. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today, Lord. For your word is what can straighten us up. Your word is what can keep us. Your word make ways for us. Your word help us to live a clean life, a holy life before you. Your word is true. Heaven and earth will pass away before any of your word fail. We come this morning thanking you, Father, for a sincere word. We thank you that what you set your word out to do is going to do it. We thank you that faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. We thank you this morning. We give you glory. We give you the honor. And Father, we give you the praise. And Lord, as we depart this morning, help us to be your vessels, your candles that sit on the hill that can't be hid.
Help us today to give the earth its flavor. Help us to be the salt of the earth. God, help us to minister to our children, no doubting, but believing that, God, your word won't return void. We may not see results right away, but, God, we know your word won't return void. And, Lord, faith cometh by hearing again. And we got to just continue to share your word everywhere we go. Father, we trust you this morning. We believe you this morning. We're looking to you. We're looking to the hills from which cometh our help. But, Father, all our help comes from you. You made the heavens and the earth. And without you, we can do nothing today, absolutely nothing. So, Lord, we need you, and we need you to lead and guide us in the right path this day for your name's sake. And, God, we will give you the glory. We will give you the honor. We will testify of your greatness. And, Lord, help us not to be selfish and walking in our flesh, but, God, walking in your spirit, looking for those who need you. And, God, we can shine that light, and they can find you in the name of Jesus. Father, we bring Sister Rita before you this morning, and Brother Louie, we bring Sharon before you this morning. God, we ask today that you would touch and heal their bodies. You heal all manner of sickness and disease. And there's nothing too hard for you to do. And Lord, even as I'm praying this prayer, Father, we ask, we touch and agree that you would do the surgery on the knees, on the hip, on the heart, whatever is needed. God, we ask this morning that you would perform the surgery without denial, because we know, God, you can look at it and it'll heal. Heal today in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise for it right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, glory to you, God. Offer your healing power this morning. Let them see the evidence of their healing in the name of Jesus. Not for my sake, not that I look like some big thing, but that, God, you've done it, and we give you all the glory. We tell you thank you right now for the healing. In the name of Jesus, and anyone else standing in the need of healing this morning, God, those that come to the prayer club, the prayer request club, heal this morning. We know you're able, and there's nothing too hard for you to do. We trust you for the healing power today, all in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Bless Sister Samoa for her coming to say something on your behalf. Bless Shantae this morning, oh God, for coming to say something on your behalf in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for hearing us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for answering us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, we're grateful this morning unto you. We appreciate you. We love you today. Hallelujah. We ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today in the name of Jesus. February 21st, 2022. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. We pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. We're going to our last song, and after the song, I won't be coming back. God bless you today. God bless you.
Open up my eyes, so I light on me. Reach out for help.
Reach out for help.
He'll be there.
He'll be there.
What about your trouble?
Within your trouble.
You can share.
You can share.
If you let.
If you let.
The life you love.
The life you love.
You get the blessing.
Yeah.
From above.
From above.
Heals the sick. Yeah, he heals the lame. Says you can do it too. In Jesus' name. I lift you up and he turns you around. And it puts your feet back on higher ground.
Never God shines his light on you.